Okay, today's daf is Shkalim, daf Tet Zayin. We're at the top of Tet Zayin, Amud Aleph. We're speaking about the Aron HaKodesh, Mishneh Nignaz, Aron Nignaz, Imot, Tzenet Haman, Mitzluchit Shemen HaMishcha, Umaklo Shal Aron HaParcha V'Shkedav, Ve'argaz Yeshivu Plishtim, Asham Lelohei Yisrael. Right, so once the Aron was hidden away, with it was the jar of man that was in the Aron, and the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil, the staff of Aaron that had its blossoms and almonds, and the gift that the Plishtim returned the Aaron with. Mi ganzo, Yoshiyahu ganzo, kevan shira shekatuv yoleh Hashem otcha bet malkecha asher takim alecha el goya asher lo yedati atav avotecha. So Yeshayahu hid it away when he saw that the pasuk that said that, or when he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to lead them outside of Israel. Amad u gnazo, so he hid it away. Hada hu dichtiv, and that's what it means, that which is written. V'yomra levim hamvinim lechol Yisrael hakadoshim lashem. Tenu et Aron HaKodesh b'bayit esher bana Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael in lechem masa bekatef. So he instructed them to leave the Aron HaKodesh in the Beit HaMikdash and not to carry it with them. Amar lehem im gole hu imachem lebavel and atem achzir on makomo. If you bring it into Bavel, it's never going to make its way back. Elata ivdu et Hashem elkechem ve'etamo Yisrael. So do this in service of your God and of the Jewish people. Pitum shemen amishcha. So how do they make the shemen amishcha? Vata kach lecha. It says you need to take for you v'kida chamesh meor, 500 measures of kida of cassia. Shen elef v'chamesh mod manim, which is 1,500 portions. Shemen zayit hin, right? A hin of olive oil. Shnei masar log, which is 12 lug. Shebo shulkin et ha'ikarin, right? That's where you use that to soak the roots in the olive oil. Divrei Rav Meir, it's Rav Meir shita. Rav Yehuda omer shulkin haya b'mayim. You'd actually soak them in water. V'notin shemen al gabei, and then you put oil on top of them afterward. Mishaya kolet et areach. Once they would absorb the oil would absorb the essence, the smell, haya ma'aviro kederech she ha'patamin osin. So you take out the oil, just like the normal method of creating perfume. Hada v'dichtiv, and that's what it means. That which is written, shemen mishchat kodesh, right? That the sanctified anointed oil. Ntane utan bright Rabbi Yehuda be Rabbi Eli shemen mishcha sha'asa Moshe midbar masa nisim nasim v'chila v'ad. So everything, the anointing oil that Moshe used in the midbar, it was a miracle from beginning to end. Shemitchila lo hayabo ela shnei masar log, because in the beginning it was only 12 log. Shnei mar shemen zayid hin. Im lasuch bo et ha'ikarin lo hayabo safek al achat kama v'kama sheha'or bolea v'ha'etzim bolim v'ha'yora bolat menor nimshechu ha'mishkan v'chol keila. Right, so it was just barely enough to properly soak the roots and add on to the fact that once you're cooking it, it's going to be absorbed a little bit in the heat. You know, some of it's going to evaporate, some of it's going to get absorbed into the pot, some of it's going to get absorbed into the wood, and we only started with 12 lug, right? So add all of that, and yet somehow they still had enough to anoint the Mishkan and all the vessels. Hashulchan v'chol kelav menor v'chol kaleah menu nimshu Aaron kohen gadol vanav kol shivat yimei hamiluim. So it had enough to anoint the table and all the vessels, the menorah and all the surrounding vessels, and then Aaron and anointed Aaron and his sons for all the days of the anointing process, all 7 days. Menorim shchul kohanim gedolim melachim, and from it they anointed all future kings and kohanim. Melech betchila taun mashiach, melech ben melech en taun my en taun mashiach my taima ku mashreu ki ze hu zetun mashiach ve en bnot taun mashiach. Right, so the first of the first king in a family line requires mashiach, but his son would not require. We know that because the Torah says anoint him, because he requires the anointing, him and not his son. So once you're the son of a former king, you don't require a new anointing. Aval Kohen Gadol, Ben Kohen Gadol afilu ad asara dor taun mashicha. But for a Kohen Gadol, every single Kohen Gadol, doesn't matter how many generations of Kohen Gadol you are, you require a new mashicha. V'chulo kayam latid lavo, hada hu dichtiv, shemen mishcha kodesh yeze lil dor dechem. And oil is still around, and it will still be around. This very same oil will be used in the future. Hin moshkut malachim ela agabe Hamayan, Shneimar v'yirkavtem et Shlomo v'ni al ha'pirda, asher li'iv oradetem oto el Gichon, u'mashach oto sham tzadak ha'kohen v'natan ha'navi l'melech al-Yisrael. You anoint a new king by flowing water. It's supposed to be symbolic of his kingdom, you know, flowing forever. So they would go, they went down to the Gichon to anoint Shlomo Melech, and they anointed him with oil there by the Gichon. Ein moshchin melech ben melech. Wait, didn't we just say that you don't have to anoint a king who's the son of a king? David was the king. El bnei machloket. Rather, only you only do this, you only anoint the king, the son of a king, if there's some sort of argument over who is the rightful king. Then the anointing shows who is the rightful king. Bnei ma nimshach Shlomo. So why was Shlomo melech anointed? Bnei machloket shel Adoniyahu. Because Adoniyahu was claiming the throne. Yoash, what about Yoash? Bnei Ataliyahu. Well, Ataliyahu was actually the Bechor. So it wasn't so pasha that Yoash should be the king. Yehoyachaz, Bnei Yoakim Achiv. Well, he has his brother Yoakim. Sheagadom menu shtei shanim. Right? Rather, he was not the Bechor. I mixed that up. Yoash was a different story. Ataliah seized the throne and killed his brothers, but he was protected and hidden. So because Ataliah was still ruling over the land, even though Yoash was the king, the son of a king, he was still anointed to show that he should be the one followed and not Ataliah. Right? Whereas Yehoyakim was the older brother, Yoachaz was the one who became king, and so he needed to be anointed. Lo kein k'tiv ku mashcheu ki zehu zeta un mashicha ven melach Yisrael to mashicha. But interesting, a different point. Why was Yehu appointed? Sorry, I skipped one. Yehu mipnei Yoram. Right, so Yehu had to be appointed because of Yoram. And why was Yehu anointed at all? Because he's a Melech Yisrael. And we learned that Kihuzeh can tell you that Davka, in this scenario, which is the anointing of a king of Yehuda, they get anointed. But the Malchei Yisrael do not get anointed. Yehoachaz mipnei Yehoyakim achiv shagadol mimeno shtei shanim velo Yeshiyahu ganzo. A further question before we resolve the one that we just asked about Malachi Yisrael getting anointed: why would Yehoyachaz be anointed at all if at that point in time Yoshiyahu should have already hid away the Aron HaKodesh with the oil inside it? Hada Amra Bafar Simon Nimshach. Okay, so regarding this, he was anointed not with the actual oil itself, but with Afar Simon, with balsam, but not the actual oil that Moshe Rabbeinu used. Ein Moshchin Malachim Ela Min HaKeren. Sorry, before we get up to that, I'll just mention that because, really, we answered both questions with one, right? Because they were anointed with Afar Simon and not with oil, so that's why it was okay to anoint the Melech Yisrael, because they weren't using the oil. Sure, the oil itself that Moshe Rabbeinu used is only used for Malchei Yehuda, but the balsam that was clearly used, because the oil was hidden away at that point, is okay to anoint the Malchei Yisrael with. Okay. Ein Moshchin HaMalachim Ela Min HaKeren. You have to anoint the kings using a horn full of oil. Shaul v'Yehu nimshichu min hapach. Shaul and Yehu, they didn't use a keren, rather with a jar, a jug. Haytam al-chutan al-chut overed. David u'Shlomo nimshichu min hakeren. Haytam al-chutan al-chut kayabet. Right, so those two who were anointed with a jug of oil, their kingdom passed by pretty quickly. But David, his anointing was with a horn, and his kingdom continued. He had a very lengthy kingdom. Ein moshrin kohanim melachim amar Rabbi Yehuda an tu deraya alshem lo yasur shevet miyuda. We cannot appoint kings from amongst the kohanim. The kohanim are not fit to be kings, right? As we know that the kings can only come from shevet Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Chia bar Ada leman yarich yamim al mamlachto hu vanav beker of Israel. Right, so alternatively, you could learn it from here, that the pasuk that says that he'll have prolonged days in his kingdom, and he and his children will be kings in the midst of Klal Yisrael, Maktiv Batre, Lo Yeh LeKohanim HaLevim. Right? Immediately afterward, it says, and this should not be done for the Kohanim and the Levim. So, clearly, the Kohanim and Levim are not fit to be kings. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hu Yochanan, Hu Yehoyachaz. Yochanan, Yehoyachaz, same person. Vaktiv HaBechor Yochanan. But wait a second, isn't it written that the Bechor was Yochanan? And yet we know that Yehoyachaz was not the firstborn. Bechor l'malchut. Yeah, what that means is he was the first person of his family line to be king. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hu shalom, hu Tzidkiyahu. Shalom was Tzidkiyahu. Vachtiv hashlishi Tzidkiyahu haravi shalom. But don't we know that Tzidkiyahu was the thirdborn and shalom was the fourthborn? Shlishi l'tolada haravi l'malchut. Yeah, he was the thirdborn, but the fourth king of his family line. That's how we resolve the contradiction between third and four. Tzidkiyahu should tzidek alav midat adin. So why was he called Tzidkiyahu? Because he was matzdik. He said that the din, the judgment that came upon him, was just proper. Shalom. Why was he called Shalom? Shubimav shalma malchut be David. Because in his days the malchut be David ended. Reish Lakish, Tzidkiyahu had a harsh din. He was killed, and he said that it was just. Reish Lakish amar lo shalom hava shmei velo Tzidkiyahu hava shmei ela Matanya. Really, Matanya was his real name. It wasn't Tzidkiyahu, and it wasn't Shalom. Hada hu dichtiv v'yimlach melech Bavel et Matanya dodo tachtav. And that's what it means. That was written that Bavel appointed Matanya, who was Yochanya's uncle, in his place, v'yasev et shemot Tzidkiyahu, and they changed his name to Tzidkiyahu. Am Rabbi Yochanan be'amash al shisha tvachim haya ha'aron nasui. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of math here. So we've seen this debate in the past as to how big an amma is. An amma could be 5 tvachim, an amma could also be 6 tvachim. So according to Rabbi Yochanan's shita, the amot that the Aaron was constructed with, it was a 6 tefach amma. Man tana be'amash shel shisha tvachim. Who taught that it was, which Tanaic Shita does this accord with? Rabbi Meir here, it's clearly Rabbi Meir's Shita that it's a 6 Tefach Amma that was built. What's the Tanan? Rabbi Meir Omer, Kola Amot Hayu, Beinoniot, Amot Ha Binyon Shisha, Shel Kalim Chamisha. Sorry, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Amot Ha Binyon Shisha, Shel Kalim Chamisha. So according to Rabbi Meir, all the Amot involved in the construction of the Beit HaMikdash were middle, medium-sized amot, meaning 6 tvachim. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no. When it comes to the building, it was like the structure was measured in 6 tevach amas, but the kalim, the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash, were measured in 5 tevach amas. Al datei Rabbi Meir. So now let's go according to Rabbi Meir's shita. Do amar be'amas shel shisha tvachim haya aron asui. So the aron was made out of 6 tevach amas. Or koshel aron chamisha asar tvachim. So it must be the total length of the Aron. So when we say length, right, so not height and not the thickness, not the breadth. So we're looking essentially for the length of the side walls, right? Orko shel Aron, so it would have been 15 tvachim. Dichtiv, how do we know that? Amatayim v'chetzi orko, amta shita, upaga amta tlata, right? So it says that the length was 2.5 amas. So, you know, 2 amas, 6 and 6 would be 12. Another half would be 3, so that's a total of 15 amas along its length. The arba luchot hayubo. And furthermore, there are 4 luchot inside the aron. Shnaim shvurim nichtiv asher shibarta v'samta ba'aron haluchot hayu kol echad ve'echad orko shisha tvachim rochbo shlosha. Right, and okay, so 4 luchot were put inside. We know because that the Moshe was instructed that even the broken luchot should be put into the aron. Now, how big were the luchot? So each one of the luchot were 6 tvachim long, and 3 tvachim thick. So not about their height, but 6 tvachim long, 3 tvachim thick. V'tein rochban shel luchot le'orkan shel aron. So how do they fit them in? When I said about the aron, I think I confused the orech with the rochav. The orech should be its back wall. The rochav should be its side wall. So here, the luchot, there, the back side of the luchot and the front side of the luchot would be 6 tvachim, and then the side of the luchot, the right and the left, they should be 3 tvachim. So how exactly did they fit the luchot into the aron? Ten rochban shel luchot le'orkan shel aron. Put the thickness of the luchot, which is 3 tvachim thick, and there are 4 of them, that's 12, along the length, right, of the orech of the aron, which we just said was 15 tvachim wide, nishtar sham shosh tvachim. In which case, you'd have 3 tvachim left over if you match the 4 luchot, which were 3 tvachim thick along the length of the aron, which is 15 total tvachim. Tein mehem chetzi tevach lechol kotel. Now, the thickness of the wall itself, meaning when we give the measurements, we mean from the outside, measures from the outside. Right, so on the inside, you have to detract the thickness of the walls, which is half tefach each, nishtar shnei tefachim l'sefer Torah. And then you have 2 tefachim left to put the Sefer Torah into the aron. Rochbo shel aron tisha tefachim. So now let's talk about Rabbi Yochanan's estimation, his calculations. The length of the aron was actually 9 tefachim, dichtiv ama v'chetzi rochbo, because it was... Sorry, this is Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of the thickness of the Aron. So it was 9 tvachim thick. So the side walls should be 9 tvachim, whereas the back wall was 15. Right? Dichtiv had to know that. Amma v'chetzi rochbo, because it's an amma v'chetzi. Amta ashita opalga amta tlata. So that's 6 plus 3. Arba luchot ayubo. Then we know that there are 4 luchot inside of it. Shnaim shleim shnaim shforim dichdiv asher shibartiv samta aron, the 2 whole ones and the 2 broken ones, haluchot ayu kol echad ve'echad orkan shisha tvachim. And we said that the length of the luchot, previously we dealt with the width of the luchot, which are put along the length of the aron, now we're dealing with the length of the luchot, which were kol echad ve'echad orkan shisha tvachim. They were 6 tvachim long, ve'rochban shloshet tvachim, and their thickness was 3 tvachim. Ten orkan shaluchot lerochban shel aron. So you have to measure the length of the luchot against the width of the aron. Nishtayer sham shloshet tvachim, and you'll find that you have 3 tvachim left over because it's 6 tvachim of the luchot and 9 tvachim of the width of the aron. Vechetzi tefach mikan lekotel ze, vechetzi tefach mikan lekotel ze. Right, and you'd leave over half a tefach for each wall itself. Tvachayim l'shilut makom. Sefer Torah Munach, right? And then an additional 2 tvachim where it was placed off the wall by a tefach so that you can maneuver the Sefer Torah in and out. Okay, now to Reish Lakish Shita. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer ba'ama bat chamisha tvachim haya aron asoy minan mantana ba'ama bat chamisha tvachim. Rabbi Yehuda Netanya Taman Rabbi Yehuda Omer ama habinyan shisha shel kelim chamisha. So Reish Lakish says that the Aron was made out of amot that were 5 tvachim, and he follows Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, who distinguishes between the structure using amas of 6 tvachim and the kelim using amas of 5 tvachim. So that's, he follows Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Vehan Aron klihu, and the Aron is a kli. Al date de Rabbi Yehuda tu amar ba amas shel chamisha tefachim haya orko asui shnei masar tefach umechza dechtiv amtaim vechetzi orko amta chamsha ve amta chamsha u palgut amta tre palik. Right, so following Rabbi Yehuda's shita, who holds its 5 tefach amas, then you have to say that the Aron itself was 12.5 tefachim, because it says 2.5 amot, that's 5 plus 5 plus 2.5, and you have 12.5 in the length of the Aron. The arba luchot hayusha hayubo shnayim shleimot v'shnayim shvurim dichtiv asher shibart v'sam de ba'aron. Right, so as it, we know that there are 4 luchot in there because it says that you put the broken ones in there as well. Veluchot haya kol echad ve'echad arkan shisha tvachim. The luchot were 6 tvachim long, ve'rochban shloshet tvachim, and 3 tvachim wide. Tein rochban shel luchot le'orkan shel aron. So you just line up the width of the luchot with the length of the aron, so that fits in perfectly, right? Because you have 4 times the 3 tvachim width of the luchot, that's 12. Right, and then v'shtayer sham chetzi tefach, and then you have half a tefach left, that because it was the length of the aron was 12.5. Etzba lakotel mikan, ve'etzba lakotel mikan, and they that half a tefach was exactly a finger length, meaning a fourth of a tefach for each size of the wall. So they're only a fourth of a tefach thick. Rochbo shel aron shiva tefachim u'mechza. The width of the aron must have been 7.5 tefachim. How do you know? Dichtiv ama v'chetzi rochbo palgta ama trei palig. So it was 7.5 because it was an amma and a half. So that's 5 for the 1 amma and 2.5 for the half amma. So it's 7.5 tvachim. Arba luchot ayubo, and we know that there are 4 luchot inside of it. Shnayim shleimim, shnayim shvorim dichtiv, asher shibarat v'sam de ba'aron. Had 4 luchot inside of it. Haluchot haya kol echad ve'echad orkan shisha tvachim. And we know that the length of each of the luchot was 6 tvachim. Ve'rochban shlosha, and their width was 3 tvachim, shloshet tvachim. Tein orkan l'rochban shel aron, so then line up the length of the luchot with the width of the aron, v'nishtayer sham tefach, and then umechza, then you find you have a tefach and a half left, because the whole thing was 7.5 long, and you put a 6, and then you lined up a 6 tefach luchot along that line. Lekotel mikan, ve'etzba lekotel mikan. So you have you have exactly 1 finger length in between each wall. Chetzi tefach mikan v'chetzi tefach mikan l'shilut. Right. So once you account that the walls are 1 finger each, so 2 fingers each equals half a tefach, then you have exactly half a tefach on each side so that you can move the luchot in and out. Ketzad asa Betzalel at Aron? How did Betzalel build the Aron? Rabbi Chanina Amar Shalosh Tevot Aso. He made three boxes. Shtayim Shel Zahav Ve'Echad Shel Eitz. Natan Shel Zahav V'Shel Eitz V'Shel Eitz V'Shel Zahav V'Tzipehu D'Chtiv V'Tzibita Oto Zahav Dor M'Bayit B'Chutz Mato B'Lor Tzitzapenu Lavi Sfato Ha'Elyona. Right, so he made three boxes, right? A big gold box, a smaller wooden box, and an even smaller golder box. That way the wooden box is completely surrounded by gold. That's what it means that it was surrounded by gold. And then the additional word of Tzitzapenu, cover it, is to include that top lip should also be covered so you don't even see the wood inside of it. Shimon Lakish Amar Teva Achad Aso V'Tzipehu. That according to Reish Lakish, no, he just made one wooden box and he covered the whole thing in gold. Dichti V'Tzipehu Tozahav Torim Bayit B'Chutz. And it says that you have to cover the entirety of the Aron in gold. Matam Lomar Tzipehu. And what do you learn from that additional word Tzipehu? Amar Pinchas Lavi Ben Neser L'Neser. Right? So that just you construct the Aron from different boards. It wasn't just enough that the boards were put together and the whole thing was covered in gold. Rather, each board needed to be covered in gold, even the parts that were going to connect with each other and not be seen. Ketzad hayu haluchot ktuvim, and how are the luchot written on? Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer chamisha al luach zo v'chamisha al luach zo hada hu dichtiv v'chtiv amoshnei luchot avanim chamisha al luach ze v'chamisha al luach ze. Right, so each one of the luchot gets five of the dibrot, and that's what it means that you write these things on these luchot. Right, so these means that two luchot contain all the dibrot, and each one gets half. Rabbanan amri asara luach ze v'asara luach ze hada hu dichtiv v'egid lechem et brito asher tziva etchem. The implication of the pasuk that you are commanded all these things, all 10 of these things, implies that actually all 10 of them was written on each one of the tablets. Right, so you have 10 on this side, 10 on that side. Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer Esrim Aluach Zeh Esrim Aluach Zeh, meaning front and back. They get 10 on this side, 10 on that side, 10 on this one, 10 on that side. Dichtiv Yichtevem Aluchot Ashnei Luchot Avanim Esrim Aluach Zeh Esrim Aluach Zeh. The implication of the pasuk of writing them on two luchot means you have to write them, meaning multiple things, on each of the two luchot. So that's how you get front and back on each one. Rabbi Simai Omer, Arba'im Aluach Zeh, Arba'im Aluach Zeh, Dichtiv, Mizeh, Umizeh, Hem Ktuvim, Tatroga. Right, from the fact that it says, on this and on that, it's written, we can make an additional, we can add on to what we thought it was written, to find that it was actually written on all four sides. So you have 10 on this side, 10 on that side, 10 on that side, 10 on that side, all four sides has it written 10, and that's for both of them, so total of actually 40 dibrot on each tablet. Hananya ben Achai, Rabbi Yeshua Amar, ben Kol Dibur v'Dibur Dik Tukevo Tetele Shal Torah, Dichtiv, Mimbulaim Betarshish Kiyama Rabba. That in between the dibrot, they had the details of the halacha written in between them, and that's what it means, that which is, it's written, it's filled in like Tarshish, meaning it's filled, it's as full as the Great Sea. Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Kad Hava Mati Hadein Karya. So Rav Shimon would reach the following pasuk. Havamar, he would say, Yafe lamdani chanani ben achi, Rabbi Yeshua, ma hayam hazeh ben gal gadol galim ktanim, kach ben dibur v'dibur, diktukev ototeah shal Torah. He said, Rav Chananya taught me was good, meaning the fact that we compared it to the sea. Just like in between big waves of the sea, you have these small ripples, so too in between each dibra, you have the small diktukim, the small details of the halacha. Amar Rabbi Tanchuma it kashiyat kume Rabbi Pinchas. So the following kashi was posed before Rabbi Pinchas. Atia ke Rabbi Yehuda, and it fits with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Velo atia ke Rabbi Meir, doesn't fit with the sheet of Rabbi Meir. My time at Rabbi Yehuda, and what's Rabbi Yehuda's svara? Dichtiv lakoach et sefer Torah hazeh v'samta mato mitzad aron berit Hashem. Alatet Rabbi Yehuda du amar heichana sefer Torah natun kamin gluskia asuilo mibechutz v'asefer Torah natun betocho. So the following pasuk that I raised is proof from Yehuda Shita, as it says that you're supposed to put the Torah on the side of the Aron, right? Now, if you put it on the side of the Aron, that sounds like you have the Aron, right? And then you lean the Torah up against the side of it. According to Rabbi Meir, the Torah went inside the Aron and not to the side of the Aron. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, you have no room for the Torah in there, you only have room for the Luchot, so they must have gone on the side. My turn, Rabbi Meir. How would Rabbi Meir explain this? Dichtiv. Venatata eta kaporet al ha'aron milamala va'al ha'aron titen et ha'edut asher etain elecha. Right, because the pasuk says that you put the curtain over the Aron, and then you put the Torah inside of it. That makes it sound like the Torah goes inside the Aron and not to the side of it.
Al date de Rabbi Yehuda. So how would Rabbi Yehuda explain this pasuk? Do Amar ein muktam u'uchar b'Torah. Really, there's no muktam u'uchar b'Torah. Ela ve'ela ha'aron titen et ha'edut asher etein elecha ve'achar kach v'natat et ha'kaporet al aron milamala. Right? There's no muktam u'uchar in the Torah. And that which it says that you're putting the luchot in there after you already put the which you're putting the edut in there after you already put the curtain on is just a reference to the luchot. Oh, but didn't you already put the luchot in there before you put the curtain on? Yeah, but there's no proper order to the Torah. So it's not telling you to put the Torah into the aron, it's telling you to put the luchot into the aron. Now, it seems like you already spoke about the luchot, but really, even though in the sequence of events you put the luchot in first, the Torah said that you put the curtain on, and then you put the luchot in, or the edut that Rabbi Yehuda understands to mean the luchot, so he doesn't have to say that the Sefer Torah goes in the aron. And there's no prop, and there's no set order. It could have told you out of sequential order. Right? Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, HaTorah shenatan lo Kodesh Baruch Hu leMoshe natna lo esh levana charuta be'esh shechora. The Torah that Moshe received from Kodesh Baruch Hu was not ink on paper. Rather, it was all fire. It was completely ish, right? And you have ish levana, and you have ish shchora, and that's how there were white fire and there's black fire, and that's how you distinguish what you were reading. But it wasn't ink and paper. It was all fire, and then Moshe copied it down from that. He ish muvlat be'ish, chatuva me'ish, right? It's fire within fire and made from fire, v'natuna me'ish, and given from fire, yichtiv mimino ish dat lamo, as it says that from his right hand he gave a fiery Torah to his nation. So there's a lot to talk about there, what exactly means that the Torah was made of fire, but we're going to stop here.